First Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and we're going to rest our hat on verse number 5, and we're going to talk about these two great women. Second Timothy. Did I say First Timothy? All right. Second Timothy. All right, just check it. See if y'all was, you know. Second Timothy, chapter 1, 1 through 6. Pay attention to verse number 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thine tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for grace and mercy and peace that Paul told Timothy he was praying that he would have. That prayer goes out to all of us, because to live in this world without the grace and mercy and peace of God would be virtually impossible. But we thank you, Lord, for good memories of mothers who were strong in the faith, strong in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, and they poured it into their children so much that Paul was fully persuaded that the same faith and love that was in Timothy's grandmother and mother now dwelled in him. Father, we pray right now for mothers, that they would pour into their children the grace and the mercy and the peace of God. Thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse number 5. A great verse. Paul's talking to Timothy, who is now pastoring a church in Ephesus. And we know Paul was put in jail in Ephesus. He called Ephesus a place where he called them the beasts of Ephesus. So there was a tough spot Timothy was in. And Paul wrote Timothy this letter from prison, saying in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is also in thee. Paul is excited. I can hear the excitement in his voice when he's talking about this family that loved the Lord. Paul is excited for a lot of reasons. We're going to just cover a few. I believe the one reason he's excited, because it was so rare in that day that you would have a family, a mother and a grandmother and a mother pouring into their son. Paul had written earlier that Demas had forsaken him and gone back into the world. And Paul would have been tough to follow. Paul would have been tough to follow. Some preachers easy to follow. And they promise you, you're going to have Benzes and Lexus, and you're going to live nice, and you're never going to get sick, have all the money. It's easy to follow that until you find out they the only ones getting rich. Paul would have been hard to follow because everywhere Paul went, they was stoning him and beating him, and folks was taking up fast. They said, we're not going to even eat till Paul dies. So I don't want to be too hard on Demas. But the name Demas means popular. Demas, Bible said, went back into the world. He had a message for the world. And he went back into the world, and Paul was disappointed. Hymenaeus and Philemon, Bible say their faith was shipwrecked. They started off right, and then something happened. And they turned and went another direction. So when Paul, when we talk about memories and remembering our moms and families, Paul had memories. He could sit back and recollect and like, wonder, you know, I wonder what's going on with Timothy, someone who's been faithful. Someone's been faithful. And we have memories. I still had memories. I still had trophies in the house when Karina was playing baseball, and you had things around your house, and some of us have wedding pictures on the wall. We have different things that we've gone through in our life that when we look back on them, they bring us joy. Paul would look back on Timothy and Lois and Eunice, and they would bring him joy. Why? They asked the question, why? Why would this family bring Paul so much joy? Because like the world we live in today, so many fakes. So many fakes. So when Paul seen the real, he embraced it, and it was attractive to him. We live in a day where there's a lot of fake. People make a living on fake. Fake love. He said, what's fake love? Love that fails. What do you mean, Pastor? Fake love is love that fails. Where you line it up? 1 Corinthians 13:8. Know what it says? Love never fails. I just had to pick up the newspaper yesterday, and just a long list of folks, separations and divorces. And I'm like, wow. A lot of them stood and said to death do us part. A lot of them, I will never leave you and forsake you. Baby, I'm in it to the end. Fake news. Fake crying. How about these actors? Fake crying. That's having to turn TV on and it's just crying. And I'm like, they can turn it on and off. Uh-huh. Get online, you can fake your own death. It was on online, you know, that 11 steps to fake your own death. Fake cancer. Man or a woman said their daughter had cancer. Raised $15,000, $20,000. Partying all over the world. Fake resumes. That was a big thing with our job folks coming in saying, I got a degree in this. Ain't had nothing. And there was a preacher in this town, came to Youngstown, said all these degrees, and when they started went through his books called the college, they said, this man ain't ever been enrolled here. And they hired him, and then they wanted to fire him, so they had to buy him out. Fake money. Some of you get a 20, go to the store with a 20. They're going to look at it, put a mark on it, because there's a lot of fake money out there. Congress lady down in Florida set up a fake student loan fund. Just caught her last week and indicted her. Almost 80 years old. Kept all the money. In sports, LeBron, one of the biggest fakers in the game. Now, I know we love LeBron, and I'm not talking about that because I'm not getting into that. I'm saying he got one of the greatest pump fakes in the game. LeBron big and strong and make it so effective when he fake like he going to shoot, and you jump off your feet, and then he shoot until you make the basket an extra shot. It's a great fake pump. That's what it's called. You know, they put his head up, you go up in the air, and he shoot. You foul him, and he get three-point play. He's a great faker. We had a guy at my job. We always thought he was tall. We always thought he was tall. We thought he was a tall guy. And then one day they did a check. What did it call? Everybody had to strip down when you come in, take your shoes off and everything. Found out he had 2-inch lifts in his shoes. He never lived that down. He never lived that down, and it is what it is. I could go on and on and on these stories about fakes. Let me give you one more, because I'm a baseball guy. A good pitcher usually have at least 4 pitches. 4 pitches he liked to throw. You have fastball, a curveball, a slider, and a changeup. And if you got a good fastball, your changeup really is effective, because they wait for the fastball and you throw 175 miles an hour at them, and they swinging so early, it's pathetic. But that's enough of that. They teach you that. Cemetery, have a good opening. Paul says this. I thought this was remarkable. He said, when I call to remembrance. I thought that was interesting. He says, when I call to remembrance. He's thinking about his beloved son. That's what he called Timothy. Even though Timothy wasn't his son, he said to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Verse number 2. He said, Timothy, here's what you need. Here's what you need. Here's what any preacher of the gospel need, any pastor, anybody that's doing ministry on any level, here's what you need to do, Timothy. And I know you're in Ephesus, and I know it's a tough place. He said, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus our Lord. He thought about Timothy because he knew it was tough. He said, Timothy, you need peace. You need love. But the next thing he says this. He says, when I call to remembrance your unfeigned faith. What's he talking about? He said, Timothy, you had a faith that never wavered. You had a faith that was genuine. You had a faith that was authentic and honest and truthful. That's what unfaith means. And this had to be unusual for Paul, because he talked about it. Imagine seeing all the phony balonies that Paul would have seen coming his way, saying they wanted to serve, they wanted to be men and women of God, and one by one they would fall from the wayside when they seen the cost. Amen. When they realized how difficult this is. Amen. Paul said, Timothy, your faith is unfeigned. It's the real deal. It's not disguised. It's not concealed. It's not camouflaged. So many believers, you only would know they're believers on Sundays. Amen. Or if you one-on-one with them somewhere. The only time you would know that they're believers, and Timothy wasn't. He was not fake. He was real. And because he was real, he took it. Paul constantly had to remind him, Timothy, preach the word. It's going to cost you. It's going to hurt. Folk ain't going to like it. Folk ain't gonna like you. It's part of the call. Amen. And Timothy embraced it. But then Paul says, where'd you get that from, Timothy? He reminds us that it didn't come from Timothy. First of all, the Lord put it in Timothy's grandmother. Okay? He put it in Timothy's grandmother. So now listen to Claire singing the song. I understand what she's saying. The Lord put the wisdom in Lois. And like all of us, I say this with Jackie there with her young ones. You got to put something in them kids. Amen. And it ain't all talk. Amen. And some of it is walk. They're going to watch you. And if they love you, they're going to act like you. And if they love you, they're going to dress like you. And they're going to talk like you. And then Paul said, Timothy, you had great grandmother. Not a great grandmother where we don't just in numbers of grandmothers. A great grandmother in the fact that she poured this in you, Timothy. She filled you with the Spirit of God. She filled you with the Spirit of God. How did she do that? Faith coming how? By hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So Timothy, she trained you. The Word of God says, train up a child in the way that he should go when he is old. He should not depart. Some of us still wait for our kids. Some of us still wait for our kids to come around. Because we know we brought them up, right? We know we brought them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And they just may be prodigal. Some of our children right now are in the pig pen. But God's still calling children out of the pig pen. He's still calling them. Wait. I say, on the Lord, keep praying for your children. This is not saying that Timothy was the perfect child. This was saying that Lois and Eunice were good mothers. And they poured it into their children. Even when their children didn't want to hear it, even when their children didn't like it, they poured it into them. Now, what did they pour into them? Think about some of these verses. I think this would be the verse that they would tell their children. Because I know we've said it to ours. Proverbs 3. I just think this is fascinating. And I think when you think about what would a mother tell a child? What would a godly grandmother tell a son that's going through? That has to make some decisions. That's being troubled. See, all advice ain't good advice. Amen. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor seateth in the center of the scorner. So all advice ain't good advice. I think he one of the most brilliant men I know. My father nicknamed him Ace. He knew a lot. But when I line up his advice to me with the Word of God, it's got to match. You know, if you're going to give me advice, then you're going to have to line it up with the Word of God. Don't give me godless advice. Amen. Proverbs 3, Paul saying this to Eunice and Lois. Here's most likely what they said to their son as they grown up. And we ought to say this to our children constantly. Trust in the Lord. Verse 5. With all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay? See, we can get advice from the family. We can get advice from the doctor. We can get advice from the lawyer. We can get advice from the counselor. But all their advice for the man of God, for the woman of God, all their counsel got lined up with the Word of God. You just got to line it up. Okay, I hear you. And how many times we say, I hear you. But if you had the Spirit of God in you, when you getting godless advice, that Spirit going. John says, try the spirits. By the spirits. See if it. See, we don't like judge nothing. We just take it on face value. No, I don't. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's big. In all thy ways, in all that you eat, drink, and do, do to the glory of God. Do acknowledge him. And I'm a man and woman of God. Satan's children are going to do what Satan wants them to do. Satan has his ministers, okay? And whatever God say, do, Satan's ministers tell you to do too. But it's always going to be opposite of what God would do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. He's a lamp unto our what? Our feet. And a light unto our paths. God is over all gods. You know what? When God saved us, well, let me, even before God saved us, he designed us to depend on him. We were made to depend on God. How many believe that? God created us to depend on him. You know why we in trouble? Because we don't. We just like Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. We go to Tarshish. God say, don't do that. We do the opposite. Jeremy said twice. See, and God requires us to be conscious of our need for him. Amen. And as children of God, we in us. We know we're doing something wrong. We know it. Because we have a God consciousness. They say, you know what? You're wrong. Jake, you know you're wrong. You need to apologize. Jackie, go ahead. Sorry. Because your conscience will tell you you're wrong. Amen. Dave and Lori sitting in class today, and they sitting in class today, and Lori wanted Dave to move. She was just posing her will. And Dave said, yes, honey.
Amen. Amen.
See, what else would his mother tell her? Tell me something. Teach your children. Here's one. Psalm 37. You know, I love these psalms because David was out there being taught. See, when you remove from God, God's still teaching you. He'll still teach you now. Now he's talking to David, and he spoke to David, and now he's empowered David, and now Psalm 37 and 1, David is right now, and David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Okay? Child of God, man of God, woman of God, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now watch this. Trust in the Lord, not people, not circumstances. Trust in the Lord. No matter what you're going through, trust in the Lord and do good. This is what these mothers have to teach their children. These are lessons that we've learned. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be Now, when he says, thou shalt dwell in the land, you know what he said? Don't move. Because see, the world is always trying to move the people of God out of their territory. And God is saying to the people of God, don't move. I got your back. I got your back. And verily thou shalt be fed. He says, look, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know how you delight yourself in the Lord? Think about this. You don't delight yourself in the Lord when everything going good. Your best times in the Lord when God provides for you in that evil day. When things are going bad and God gives you strength, now you have something to delight about. You don't have nothing to delight about when everything going smooth. Everything smooth sailing. But when you down and out, when you sitting there and you just dealing with this and then something else coming, God give you strength. Doctors don't even understand. They wait for you to fall out the chair. And know what you're doing? Delighting in the Lord. Okay? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And many of us have been there. We look at a situation, and we like, man, this is going to consume me. How am I ever going to get over? And then we can say, like, Mahalia Jackson, how I got over. My soul looks back and wonder how I got over. And some of us have been in that situation. We've been through some stuff. We've been through some stuff. And on the surface, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But you get through it. You know what you do then? You delight thyself also in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that weeping will endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In the morning. See, Satan wants you to believe that he won't just joy never coming. He wants you to believe that he's consumed joy. He's taken all the joy away. You just gonna die in misery. Jeremiah, how about it? Here's Jeremiah. Some of me like, I don't know how Jeremiah did it. Preach all his life, nobody come here. Nobody got saved. He never stopped preaching. Never stop declaring, thus saith the Lord. Here's what he said in Jeremiah 9:23. Watch this now. See, folks who trust in themselves is fools. Only a fool trusts in himself. Amen. Okay? Or only a fool trusts in another person. Amen. Uh-huh. Jeremiah says this, weeping prophet. He said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Sound like our world, don't it? But let him that glorieth glory in this. How about that? You want to glory? Glory in this. Glory in this. I'm going to say it one more time. Glory in this. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So what you glorying in? What you glorying in? They had to tell the boy, Cleveland Brown, grab, he's talking big. He said that one verse I gave Jake, he could never find it in the Bible. He could never find it in the Bible because it wasn't in it. He said, don't brag when you're putting a uniform on. Brag when you're taking it off. See, when you take it off, you got the victory. Now you can pop the champagne. But ain't no use boasting when you're putting a uniform on. Look what he says. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. Let me say something about that. These women, they had it. It was in them. It lived in them. That word dwelt, I mean, it took up residence in them. It was in them. And that don't mean, you know, you come to their house and they got plaques all over the wall and fish all over their car. That's not what it's talking about. I mean, when you talk to these women, when you spoke to these women, they declared the Lord. It was who they were. It resonated with them. You couldn't talk to them long without them giving glory to God, without them talking about how good God was and how good he is. Now ask yourself a question. How long can you talk? How long can you talk to someone you don't know and not bring up Jesus? Not bring up your relationship with the Lord? Not be able to talk about how good God is? Couldn't talk to these women long. No. You know right away that these were women that the Spirit of God dwell in. Think about Colossians 3. We've been studying on Wednesday night. It says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You don't get that by coming to church on Sundays. Okay? You ain't getting that. That's a 7-day operation. You didn't get good at your job by working once a week. Amen. Some of you working in places, you know every department. You know how to run the whole place. You didn't get that an hour and 1 hour a week. You got that from being there and being present and being a part of that. And you were there. And they say, well, I need somebody to go run that press, or somebody to go in that room, somebody to set this computer up. You knew because you ran everything. And I worked 25 years at Trump Creek, so I could have ran anything. They needed a warden, I could have did it. So I knew the place. But I was there. I was there. Listen. Look at these women. It don't say much about them. Here's what it says about them. This is all it says about Timothy's parents in Acts 16:1. I thought this was fantastic because it only says it's one verse about these women. One verse. Boy, but it powerful. Look what it says, Acts 16:1. And then he came to Derbe and Lystra. Now, see, we run past words. These were two evil cities. These women were serving God in a place where Paul got stoned. Paul got stoned in Lystra. And here are these women serving God in an evil place. Hold on. Paul wrote in Acts 14:22, he said, by much tribulation, we must go through to enter the kingdom of God. He wrote that in Lystra. Now watch what God says about these two women. Think about it. Mother's Day. Sylvia told me, preach a message of hope on Mother's Day. She tell me that all the time. I say, preach, Sylvia, I'm the most hopeful preacher in the town. Listen to what he says in Acts 16:1. And then he came to Derbe and Lystra, where he'd been stoned at. And behold, there's our word, got a circle. And behold, in an evil village or evil town, behold, Paul sees something. He like, you got to see this. This is miraculous. He said, behold, a certain disciple was there in an evil place. In an evil, wicked place, a certain disciple was there. What's a disciple? A learner, a doer, a follower. And he's following Paul. He's following the Lord in an evil place. A certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son. Watch this now. Watch this. The son of a certain woman. We know that woman to be Eunice. The son of a certain woman. Now behold this now. The son of a certain woman, which was, past tense. Okay? You get that? You get that, Sylvia? Which was a Jewess and believed. She was a Jewess, like Lydia. Jewish proselyte, maybe born a Jew. Hard to believe, but she was married to a Greek. But she was a Jewess, and here's the key, and believed. Believe what? Believe what? She believed that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. She believed in an evil town, surrounded by wicked folks, surrounded by folks that most likely condemned her and condemned what she believed. And she believed. And she believed. Paul said she believed. That means she believed. That means nothing was going to separate her from the love of God. The word of God dwelt in her. And she taught her children. Let me give you another verse that she taught her children. Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Teach your children. Teach your children. Watch this now. All mothers would have taught their children this. All mothers would have taught their children this. Great mothers, godly mothers. Deuteronomy 6. All great mothers would teach their children this, or their great children. When she had a grandmother. Some of y'all here, grandmas. You got a responsibility to teach them. To teach them, not change them. Teach them. And pray that God would do a work in their heart. Here's Moses writing. And he's not suggesting this, okay? He says, in these words, verse number 6, Deuteronomy 6, in these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let me break that down. Okay? Teach them. When you're sitting in the house, every moment is a teaching moment. When thou leave the house and go out into the community, you still teach them. And when thou lies down, teach them to pray. Teach them to pray. And when thou rises up, teach them to thank God that they rose up. And then the cycle starts all over again. Now when you go out here, son, when you go to that school, remember whose you are. Remember whose you are. Remember that God is watching you. Amen. You teach them. And look at verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. You know what he said? You'll see God. See God in everything. And live like God is walking you hand in hand. Think about that. Think about the places you wouldn't go. If you was holding God's hands, think about it. Think about it. If God was in your frontlets, between thine eyes, think about what you wouldn't watch. Let's keep going. She's teaching these godly mothers are teaching. I like this one. Psalms 119:11. I like this one. It says, do this, son. Do this, daughter. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Paul seen Timothy, seeing these women, and he probably had to wonder, where did he get this faith from? Where did he get the ability to suffer when and deal with life like he is, such a young man? You know what he said? Here's what he said. Here's what Paul said. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfaith that was in thee, where'd you get this from? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. Paul says this, I am persuaded that in thee also, watch this now, persuaded, totally convinced that what your mother had and your grandmother had, you have. This made Paul excited. This was something Paul said, behold, watch, look at this. This is different here. Here's a young man that got the right stuff. And it holds up under pressure. See, the right stuff holds up under pressure. Okay? Listen. This is in the end of that chapter. Chapter 1. If you in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, watch what it says now. Here's what Paul's seen in Timothy. He said, Timothy, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Remember Peter? Timothy was teaching and preaching in Ephesus. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He's in prison. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know For I know whom I believed, or I have believed, and here's his word, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him, my soul, against that day. He giving Timothy some wisdom. Hold fast, Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. Don't let these folks in Ephesus talk you out of preaching the word. Because the devil ain't never wanted to hear it. He said, hold fast. Don't move. Preach the word which thou hast heard of me. And look what it got me. But I'm still in prison writing letters and preaching, Paul said.
Amen.
Except what it says, in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. All right. What have our children and grandchildren learned from us? Think about that. Why would Paul bring this up on Mother's Day? I think this is Paul's Mother's Day message. Why is Paul singling out Timothy and Eunice and Lois? Because there's so many fake Christians. So Paul sees real, and he's excited about it. He's excited about it. Well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm real? Because you sure paint up. I don't know. You sure paint a picture. I don't know what kind of picture it is to you. Paul said, how do I know if I'm real or not? Well, one way to find out. You take the MI, fake Christian test. See, the word of God says that you ought to examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Then he goes on, know ye not your own selves? Who knows you better than you? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. What's on this test, Pastor? One simple question. Do you know Jesus? That's question number one. Now, somebody, I know him. No, that's not what I mean. What is the most important thing of any relationship? To any two people in a relationship, what's the most important thing they have to do? Who said that? There it is. The foundation of any relationship is communication. Because before you can trust them, you have to be able to communicate, talk to them. Okay? You test your relationship with Jesus, you look at the foundation of any relationship. Do you trust him? Yes. How did you gain that trust? By being in a relationship with him, by communicating with him, by interacting with him, talking to him, and hearing from him. What happens? You call somebody all the time, they don't call you back. What's going to happen in that relationship? What has somebody calling you all the time, you don't answer? You think they're going to keep calling? No. You got to be communicating. What happens in any relationship? You know, irreconcilable differences. You know what it is. Usually they just can't stop talking. Call one line all the time. One doing something they ain't supposed to do, they can't communicate. Where is you at? Don't worry about it. None of your business. Where you going? Don't worry about it. I'll be back. Where you been? What happens in them kind of relationships? When Jesus is asking you all the time, where you going? Where you been? Why you hanging around them folks? Why you going there? Why you doing that? Ask yourself, Pastor. Do I have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? That's the first question on the test. Do you talk to him? Some of y'all can talk too. talk to God. Some people say, Pastor, you drive an hour and a half every day to work, about an hour, 15 minutes. You know what? It's a great time for me. It's a great time for me. It's really great because I get to talk to the Lord. I get to listen. I get to listen to sermons. And sometimes I just don't have nothing on. Just pray halfway to work and just try to hear from God. How you doing on the test? You hearing from God? Think about this as I close. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Now, I guess that would be a great question, wouldn't it? Do you have the Spirit? I don't know if I have the Spirit. If you have to ask yourself, if you don't know if you have it or not, you probably don't have it. Okay? Listen. I got so many scriptures that we go over all the time. All the time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You guys know it. It's just should just blow off you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, got a new spirit. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Truly born again Christian will what? Strive to bring glory and honor to God.
Amen.
It's a work. It's not easy to honor God in a fallen world. This is what made Paul so excited when he seen Eunice and Lois and Timothy. He knew what they were going through. Peter says this. He says, but as he which have called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Why, Peter? Because it is written. Be holy, for I am holy. When God saves you, he gives you the ability to be holy. He gives it to you. True saving faith will produce holiness, good works, fruit. Well, I don't know, Pastor, but I got it. Lois had it. She gave it to Eunice. And they gave it to Timothy. But if you don't got it, you're going to give it to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to give it to somebody. And that's why our world is jacked up.
Amen.
Because we giving stuff. And we like decon. You know, like the mice, we put the decon out. And the mouse come get the decon. Eat that whole box. Then that mouse take that decon back to his family, and regurgitates all that decon to all his little mices. Mises, I don't know what they call baby mice. Little ones. And all the little ones say, oh, mommy, daddy, y'all got all this. This tastes so good. Because they make decon taste good to mice. And then they eat all this decon and take it home. And they start feeding it to their little kids. And the little kids start acting like fools.
Weird.
And then they die and go to hell. And that's just spiritualized decon.
Amen.
And that's why you have saved folks, church folk, kids crazy. Eunice, Lois, and Timothy.